Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 216 of Fans of Power. I'm Nathan Kennedy, joined as always by everyone's favorite dumpster diver, Joe Amato. How's it going, Joe?
I try. I do pretty well. I haven't dumpster dived in a long time. That was a long time ago. I don't do that stuff no more, Nathan. But, Yeah, sure. I mean, when you're getting deals on steaks and if somebody else is doing that for you back, you know, some years ago, it's good. I mean, oh, no, we won't talk about that.
Well, before you get into that, Emily and I were watching a documentary on HBO called McMillions, where basically this mob was rigging the Monopoly game.
Yeah, I heard about that years ago. Yep.
And we started talking about it, and I was like, well, you know, Joe's like a mob boss, and she was, oh yeah, last name's Amato. And then she was like, you would think for someone that was Italian they would have more appreciation of food and not just eat stuff out of dumpsters. Those were her words, not mine.
Well, I do love the good taste of food, of course I do, but when you're catching deals, that's the other thing, you can't pass up a good deal either. So yeah, you can make junk taste into something great. I don't know, crappy food, but like I said, there's some topical things. We're gonna talk about a cool story. I'm gonna get the fans involved to where maybe they can win something later on. And but first, let me just acknowledge the chat room. We have Fishy Toys, Zentron, DJ Tags, Dingalorian, Zen Brown, Carlos. I always screw your last name up, but Carlos is from the Masters of Origins page on Facebook. And, of course, we'll be talking about some of that, too. And JSP is here. Carlos, I think I tried to say your last name one time, and I might have butchered it, so I apologize. That's why I didn't want to touch.
Always just stick to Carlos. You are Carlos.
Exactly, because I just want to play it safe. And also, I did want to give a shout-out to Jason Silva, who left a comment on our Fans of Power Facebook group page, where you made a post, and he said, you know, he usually listens to us on his commute during the week, keep up the great work, and he said, I keep listening, even though Joe Amato knocks on my boy Stratos all the time. So I just did want to acknowledge it. You know, there's like one more person, I think that's a total of five people that like that shitty character. But Jason, glad you love the show, and I'm sorry about your taste in Stratos and shitty figures, but what the hell. At least we got somebody that's a dedicated listener.
And I'm going to steal Joe's thunder, and let's say hello to Adam Gabbert, Papa Hood 69, Mark 44 Prime, DJ Tags, DJ, you already get DJ Tags, Curtis Ackerman, Eric Munoz, Michael Purvis, Wiley Collector. So, yeah, everyone's starting to pile in now.
And Hero Dan TV, so and it's Daniel from the Chicago Horde, so welcome. So, yeah, a lot of new people here that are in the chat room.
That's what I like to see.
Exactly. So we will have the topical things that we'll talk about probably later. First, want to start off with talking about one of the storybooks, because as for before getting to the topical things, at least if anything, for those looking for the Masters of the WWE Universe figures, I think Wave 2 started popping up at Walmart. Mm-hmm. Some people said they haven't seen them at their stores, but maybe we're getting them online. But they are there for those who want to get the second wave of figures. So
yeah,
I've never seen.
Are you?
They're gone before. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I think the only one I really want out of that wave is the Rey Mysterio. Everyone else I could... And the Macho Man.
On Macho, but yeah, that's the only way I can like Stratos is by through Rey Mysterio. I was like, now see, you made him look cool. I could get the figure now so I can enjoy Stratos, but they're sold every time I would go to Walmart. I see that empty little peg, and I see the thing. They're gone. As quick as they arrive, they're gone. These things will never be clearance. Unlike the ring, which just some people were like, they were out before the figures. Like, what the hell is this ring? What's this about? And it wasn't really vibing or, you know, with people. But those figures, they're never going to be on clearance because they're just going to be gone.
Well, I saw a couple more Wave 1s on the shelf. I hadn't seen them in a long time. Like, I saw them the one time and then didn't really see them again. And now it's like, here's a couple of Wave 1. And if you guys are interested in the Wave 1 and you still haven't got them yet, you still can't find them, click the link down below. Manic Plastic. He's got each of them on sale for $10 a piece. And I think that the shipping rate is like $6. So if you guys really want them, he's got a set on his website. So go ahead and click that.
And that's a good-ass deal. And when you think of Logix, you know, like me, think about it. You know, I'm going to look for these things, never find them, and I'm wasting all that gas money. It's like, hell, you can just sit there, order them, and the shipping, that probably would cover whatever you pay for gas when you go searching. So
and you don't
that's
have
a good deal.
Yeah, don't have to go with the eBay price because no one wants to do that.
You can avoid that if you can't avoid it. But before we get into the Origins card back art and some of the reveals and other stuff, we're first going to talk about a book that maybe many people have never seen before, maybe never read. And it has interesting stuff. That's what I like is, you know, like we always say, stories back in the day, at least you had a beginning, middle, end, didn't leave you hanging. Like, I got to read, you know, 10 other issues or 10 books to get to this. But, and it has some different things in here that I don't think I've ever seen. And the art, I always hate it that I can't remember who this artist is. I know that, let me see if it's even in the book, because maybe it's right there in the book, but you got it put up right there. But, oh, wait, illustrated by Robin Davies. Oh, God, I feel like a, I avoided the F.
Just avoided it.
Nah, people don't want to hear me say that. It might happen. But, yeah, I think that that's a person who illustrated all of it.
Yeah, I do. Maybe. I got that page on here that kind of shows, like, who was involved. But, Joe, what was the... Because I told you to just kind of pick something random and sort of off
the wall. Well, I picked it because we haven't... Okay, well, I mean, I enjoyed, like I said, I enjoy all these Lady Bird books. Some more than others. But there's just... things that happen in this that are a little different that you might not have seen in a lot of other stories, which kind of to me made it unique. And of course, maybe other parts of the world, maybe some things like this already happened, but just something caught my eye. And of course, I know we haven't got a chance to discuss many of the Lady Bird books. A while back, Tyler and I think we discussed one story from the big Lady Bird book that had multiple stories, but this is just one of the standalone stories. And I was like, well, you know what? We always talk about everything from comics to cartoons to anything. And I was like, might as well give it some respect to show this particular one right here. And Zimbron says, I have that on my Tales of Eternia playlist. Oh, yeah, because there was audio tapes for these too, I guess. I've never heard the audio stuff, though. I think on these, we heard the... That was the thing that it turned Tyler off on the other one that we did from the three, you know, the multiple stories in the big book, right. Was just the voicing. He's like, oh, my God. And I admit, the voice was... Yeah. It was some bad dub for speaking.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a hard thing to get past for a lot of people when they're used to the characters sounding a certain way. So I understand that, but I think it was always neat to hear those things, because half the time it was just one guy doing all the voices, you know?
Yeah, that was it. It was this one guy, and there was, like, just no emotion in some of the voices, and every voice kind of sounded the same, and it was just, it was pretty, it was bland. It was, but, I mean, hell, as a kid, I'm sure you might have got, you know, engrossed it and enjoyed it either way, just hearing your stories come to life. If you're not watching on TV, just hearing it. But yeah, through, I guess, hearing it for the first time through, you know, adult ears or whatever, like, wow, that was painful. But yeah, story's still good. Just, yeah, the voiceovers was interesting.
Well, this image that I have up right now is interesting just because you got Grayskull and then Snake Mountain and then here's a rabbit and a deer. Just kind of
it is weird art. I think they use these for all the books, but keep that in mind, what you just said about Snake Mountain. That's another reason that I want to bring it up. Just look at Snake Mountain in this illustration right here, but wait till we get into the story, because there's something particular about the Snake Mountain that's in the story that I was like, that kind of caught my eye. It was different, but I'll wait till we, wait, who is the character in front of the sun? Maybe that's He-Man standing up there, because these things, this illustration, this is nothing that's actually in the story itself. This is just like just art just saying, okay, now let's get into the story and bam. But yeah, this art has nothing to do with the story itself.
So I went ahead and switched to by John Grant, illustrated by Robin Davies.
Okay, and then I'll wait till you get to the story part, and I'd like to get your first impressions once you start reading or what your kind of thoughts were. But again, we don't read it bit by bit,
right?
Because you guys have seen the pictures up there. It's your way of kind of reading it yourself, but we'll give you our thoughts as well.
And we'll only read that when Jeremy DeWitt's back on the show, because that's more of the podcasters of the universe's.
You know, because, and what's weird is that's something that way back in the day when I did Masters Comic Cast, I would, like, read out the new comics that were out at that time, and I was even making sound effects and weird stuff. I was doing that way back in the day, but yeah, definitely Podcasters of the Universe, Jeremy, that's the thing that he does. He likes doing the reading of the book itself, but here you go.
Yeah,
go ahead, Nate.
When you're saying that it is something different already here at the beginning, it's like, all right, they're going to get on the royal ship, the Sea Eagle. Is this... and here's the newbie question for me to you, and maybe
this is the first time I seen Sea Eagle. This was nothing that I remember in Filmation or any of the comics here in the United States, but I think this was something exclusive that maybe they made up, along with even hearing of Port of Randor Haven. It's, you know, like, so that was kind of interesting, just seeing them getting ready to go out. They're getting on this ship. They got something they're going out to do. You see kind of a little bit of a Prince Adam, and you're wondering, okay, is this just his character in general, or is he putting on the show just to get everybody pissed off of, you know, doing his, hey, I'm waving to everybody and kind of getting his mom and dad and Teela mad, like always. But that's the gimmick, you know, he's got to put on that air, I guess, if you will.
Right, and I think most of the time I feel like he just does that because it's like, well, it's something I have to do. I don't think it's, or do you think, I don't really know where I'm going with that question either. Do you think that Adam was kind of that way before the power was bestowed upon him?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Oh, probably. And the thing is, remember, like, even in the DC comics, you know, before we had Filmation, when Prince Adam was first introduced, he was really laid back. He didn't take his job as Prince seriously. And he would carouse and, you know, just be with the women. He was always laid back, not taking his princely duty seriously. And then, of course, he became Hema. But when it came to Filmation, it kind of became, okay, let's put on the dunce act.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really like that in the early stuff. And one quick thing that Fedmon did want to mention about the stories, he said, as for the big book, with the six stories, that was the only time that there was a single voice actor. So with these single story books, apparently there was more voice. So
I guess the audio files are available. So maybe the next time we do tackle one of these, I can find a way to just have the image up and we can just play that. Maybe, I don't know. Well, I'll mess around with it. We'll see what we can do.
Something different. Well, now you see, as they're getting on the Sea Eagle and they're all set. You see this? I remember the first time I looked at this book, I was like, "What the hell is this little creature?" I didn't realize it was a head. You know, of course, you got to keep reading.
That's what I thought too. That the first time I looked at it, I was like, "All right, well, this is just like a giant little sea blob, like kind of sitting in a puddle."
It looked weird. Yeah, it looked like just a nasty little creature. But as you're gonna find out, and you'll see once you flip to the next page, it's Merman's. You know, that's his people, the sea people. I think that's how they refer to him. I'm gonna wait till you get to the next page because I'm just trying to remember exactly how they called them, if they're the sea people. But that's what I like. We've seen stuff in Filmation with Merman and then, you know, his people. But I like seeing these different versions. These ones, they definitely did not look like this in Filmation. This is definitely something, again, I believe is exclusive to these Lady Bird books. But what I like is, as you see, Merman's on his throne. And, of course, he wants more power. And he's figuring if he could do this, if he could capture them, maybe he could show Skeletor. He's wanting to impress Skeletor. Because if he could show him, maybe then get more power, Skeletor could, you know, maybe respect him more, take him more seriously. And as you'll see, they find out and they get a message to Skeletor. And Skeletor's telling what to do, but I'll pass it to you. But I think these little creatures are kind of weird, unique, and I'd like to see them in figure form. They're just strange.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad to have them as sort of like an army builder. And I dig his slimy throne, too. I was kind of hoping that there would be a little more color to it, but I guess it makes sense given the circumstance. You know, maybe just like a little more yellow or gold in there to kind of make it look more prestigious.
Because everything, I see what you mean. Not only that, but just, I mean, when you look at this whole scene, everything blends. Not only Merman and his people and their outfits, but the throne, the background. It's like the colors kind of are all muted together. I don't know if that's the correct word, but they kind of just, they blend too much. So some contrast would have helped. But either way, it's a cool design. It's unique.
See, and now I just imagine that Joe walks to like the back alley behind the Olive Garden and gets in the dumpster and kind of sits there like the dumpster's his throne, and he's got like other hobos coming around like, I found these scraps, sir. Oh, perfect.
I'm going to have to make a Hobo Joe figure or something. Oh, God, there's the name, Hobo Joe. That sounds like a perfect Masters of the Universe name.
There we go.
Oh,
jeez. That's what you should do. You should make a Hobo Joe, either in classic style or vintage, and then have people sign up like they do and spin the wheel and get your own Hobo Joe figure. That'd be great.
Hobo Joe figure, yeah. But that throne, I do like the throne. Even Curtis Ackerman was like, you know, that's a sweet throne that Merman's on. So, hey, you don't see many. You know, you're used to Skeletor. You're used to Zodak and his, you know, throne slash chair. But yeah, seeing this kind of thing for Merman, it's definitely unique. That'd be kind of a cool display piece, too. So, have to remember that.
I was kind of thinking on this next set of pages, that'll probably pop up for you here in a second, where, like, all right, so we're clearly in Merman's lair, and I'm to assume that we're either, is it underwater?
Yeah. It's an underwater lair. Because even how you see it's described. Plus, this is a different one. I mean, there's many versions, but this one, you hear that. And, of course, how either the outer gates of his fortress were thrown open, boom, he comes flying through. So, because they're going. They're going to try to stop this damn, the ship. Going to try to stop that cruise ship and capture it in a different way. as you'll see when they do get to that. But yeah, this I believe was an underground one, and you see everybody's always got him on it.
So we're saying like his fortress is underwater, but is it also enclosed, or am I supposed to like think that?
No, it's enclosed. Okay. I'm assuming that, you know, it's almost like an Atlantis.
I was gonna say, because like if he's got a TV down there, man, that's not gonna do much good for electrical. Everybody. Yeah,
and that's. And I was going to say, I mean, of course, not like Atlantis, but you know what I mean? It's just enclosed. It's underground layers, so water's not getting into it. And then, but yeah, I see what you mean. But yeah, they're going to go after the Sea Eagle, try to capture this thing in a unique way.
And the
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the Sea Eagle's actually kind of awesome, because early on, you kind of just got a good look at the front. But here on this next page, you can see that it's clearly kind of like, above water, obviously. It's almost like it's one of those
big cruise ship. Yeah, it looks like a big,
or like one of those airplanes that have the stuff on there so they can land in the water. So it's kind of an interesting choice of design that it's not just straight up in the water. It's just elevated.
And not just a throwaway design to where it was just like kind of like a simplified just boat that you could see in almost every kind of story, but they did go quite in detail. Like even on the other pages, you know, you were seeing some smaller pictures from like the monitors and stuff, but this, you're getting definitely a lot more detail into it. So I like that they took the effort of doing that. And as many said, every time they see Merman's sword, they always thought it looked like corn. I can understand that a lot of people said it. Even from the figure, I mean, they say it looked like a corn sword, but I'll pass it back to you.
I mean, yeah, it kind of does look like a corn cob that's been chewed all to hell.
It's unique. Yep, and I liked how eventually Merman here with all his sea people created the zero energy that was released to freeze around the Sea Eagle, and it was taking the water and getting just harder and harder and thicker ice until eventually it was just bam, it was trapped. So they got what they needed to do. They wanted to trap everybody there and into this, you know, in the Sea Eagle, so they're not going anywhere. So at least something was getting done. But you see the Sea Eagle here, I kind of like that, after discovering what in the heck's going on, and you see the blast coming out of the eyes of the Sea Eagle, and they're trying to bust out of this ice. That can't even get them out. That ice is so thick and hard that this isn't going to do it, so we know we're going to have to be getting some kind of help. Go ahead, what were you laughing about?
You're just saying it was thick and hard, Joe.
Oh my god!
My mind's in the gutter today.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, I think I think that the time change kind of just really messed with me today. And you don't think about it much until the day of. So apologies to any of our viewers that aren't in the States. It might seem like we're doing this later than usual, but no, we just have the whole silly daylight savings time thing.
I woke up and forgot about the time change until when I put on TV. I was like, what the hell is this doing on? I was like, where's something else? I was like, oh my god, there's a time change. So I didn't even know about it until I woke up. So
spring forward. But no, it's cool. Yes. That this ship has come equipped with the guns and all the proper necessities. It kind of makes me wish now that there should have been some version of this either in Filmation, or maybe just, it would have been a pretty decent vehicle opportunity, I would think, depending on the size.
They came up with some interesting things. Yeah. I mean, I do like some of the looks and things they did for the Lady Bird books. They had exclusive things. I mean, that's where, like I said, the Scalecons came from, which we eventually got a Scalecon in Classics form, never got a vintage one, but so they came up with some cool stuff. But you're right, I mean, that ship, you see it's blasting from the eyes, it's blasting through some other parts of the ship. I mean, it is well-equipped and ready to defend itself, but it's just to no avail being stuck in this ice here. And as you'll see, when we get to the next pages, yeah, we'll have to figure out how they're going to get out.
Yeah. Joe, I'm sorry if this offends you, but I just really don't like... I think everything else in the book is okay, but how Adam and He-Man look, I'm just not really a fan of. It just looks weird.
It's different. I mean, I think in some books, he's depicted and he's drawn, you know, a little better. But, the one thing I used to get from people was said... they thought he looked really angry all the time. But I was like, oh, I mean, hell, look at the figure, the vintage figure. That looked pretty angry, but it's a different look. But I think, you know, it grows on you, especially when you start seeing the other stories, you know. Well, but I could see what you mean.
Well, I mean, like, look, Adam right here just looks like a smarmy asshole. And then you look at He-Man, and it looks like he's taken his power sword and put it in a light socket. His hair's all, like, frizzed out. I don't know. I'm not a fan of, like, everything else looks pretty good.
We've always said that, man. I mean, it's not something you have to like every single thing. If something you don't like, you speak up, you say you don't like. If you don't like that, look, I can understand. What I do like is kind of something different. Like another little thing to describe says, using the power of the blade, he sent out a powerful telesummons to man arms back at Castle Grayskull to join him in the Talon Fighter. So I kind of like that. You know, it's something we didn't get much of in other mediums. Not saying it wasn't done, but just to see with He-Man using the sword to, like, you know, summon and communicate with Man-at-Arms. It's usually, you know, you always have the stuff back and forth with Adam and the Sorceress or Sorceress or somebody. So I like that. Like, again, I'm not saying it wasn't done other places, but, you know, it's just something that at least can catch your eye here.
The next set of pages here, this looks better. He doesn't look like he just got out of bed or anything. Going back to your point, it is kind of nice to see, as you said, the power sword being used for, like, other purposes than what you're not used to seeing too often. But
yeah, because you even see that right there when he got down and he used the sword as kind of like a beacon light, you know, to a homing device for the Talon Fighter. So you're seeing more things. Even the whole thing about the map, he's trying to get the map, get the coordinates so when he can get in the Talon Fighter. I don't know if it's like uploading into, you know, a database and, you know, you got your map quest or something. See, they had it way back in the day, even before it was happening. There you go. It's like he knows where to go, giving it the Talon Fighter the coordinates. But I like that. I like seeing multiple different things with the swords, you know, beyond what you're normally seeing.
Yeah, sorry, I was also reading the chat at the same time. But no, it's cool because he's almost got to use it in a way as like an SOS to Man-at-Arms when he's coming to fly around too. But, oh yeah, okay, I see you, there you are. So he makes himself visible to Man-at-Arms.
Oh, you know, even a subtle detail is like that map that was on the, you know, previous page. You don't have to go back to it. But usually something like that, like in cartoons or other things, like they're like, hey, we got to get a map, and, you know, puts it away. It's like disappears into a magical belt buckle or some spot you never see.
Yeah.
But just for them to go through the detail in the previous pages to show that map right around his belt area the whole time, I was like, you know, they're trying to put in an effort, which, you know, I can really respect. But I'll pass it back to you.
No, I'm just kind of thinking if maybe I should start to kind of blow through this a little bit faster because, you know, people are going to look at the image and probably try to just sit and read it as we go.
Yeah, because some things are more worth saying for certain particular pages. Yeah. Some aren't, but of course they can get to it at any time. But yeah, He-Man takes basically the controls here. They want to get to this volcano. They want, if anything can, they figure, break that ice or get the ice to melt, is going to this volcano. So they have a plan. That's why he has that map out to go to this place right here. Once they, boom, pop a spot and everything, bust it out, all that's going to pour out. It's going to get into the water. It's going to create the warm water to go to melt that. They're just hoping it can get there in time before Merman and his people obviously reach the Sea Eagle.
But how many fish are going to die because the water's going to boil and get too hot, you know?
Exactly. Cause some kind of like, you know, volcanic eruption. It wasn't supposed to happen for thousands of years.
Right.
Killing all the wildlife around. Like, good job, He-Man. Like, you could have broke the ice yourself.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, we're going to fly to this volcano and then we're going to shoot it. So it kind of like self-destructs on its own, and I'm like, oh, the poor sea life under there.
All of it.
Some of them are gonna like boil.
Exactly. I'm sure that initial bit that came right down, it probably killed quite a few sea creatures on the way there. It's like, yeah, you better hope the winds and the gust of wind get this warm water, but it's a cool plan. It's something that deviates beyond the obvious of stuff, you know, like figuring, okay, He-Man, you have to lift up the volcano or volcano and then throw it or something. And, you know, it's different. At least they're trying to do something else.
So
and I'll let you get to the next.
Well, yeah. Okay. So that's kind of when we get here with Teela, and he's like, well, communicate and send out a message. So here we have Teela essentially just going to communicate with the dolphins and the whales and the seals and whatever
else.
And
this is what I like. This is the other thing that I do like. Just the description of when He-Man boarded and when he talked, this is the thing I liked about him. It says, He-Man hurried to find Teela and explained what he and Man-at-Arms had been doing. As the warrior goddess, her powers were almost equal to his own, and he wanted her help. And I liked hearing that. I was like, you don't hear that too often where they describe Teela as having powers almost as equal to He-Man's. That's pretty damn good. But then you get to see more use of the Cobra Staff, which you didn't see much in a lot of other media. Again, not that it wasn't shown, but just seeing her Cobra Staff being used and how she can use it to communicate, like you said, with all the good wildlife in the water. I mean, all the creatures in the water. But that staff looked pretty damn wicked. You know, like, boom, when the eyes were glowing and you see the fangs. I love that depiction of Teela with Cobra. But, yeah, I just like that description. Like I said, you never really hear Teela being described almost as strong as He-Man. That's unique.
No, yeah, it's kind of cool that you kind of put everyone on sort of an equal plane, because you don't want one to stand out more over the other. But yes, she summons them. Those who have a warm blood by command of the Lord He-Man. So we get like
Lord He-Man. Yeah, that's a different thing too.
Our Lord and Savior He-Man. So we get dolphins and seals and otters and probably puffins are flying around somewhere, I would imagine. I mean, it's definitely interesting. And Hero Dan says, Merman, the hero of the story, trying to stop He-Man from destroying all sea life. You know, like,
yeah, how about that? Poor Merman. The only thing he was trying to do is like, you know, I just want to capture you guys so I can try to, you know, show Skeletor what I'm worth. And maybe I can get some kind of power. I wasn't going to kill you, but you killed half the fucking population of my sea people and all the things around. All the sea life is dead. That's the thing you don't see. There was like an extra page that they didn't put in there or something that they scrapped, where you seen like just thousands of things laying in the ocean as they were like, we saved the day. Everything's dead.
Hey, you can't have kids thinking like that, but it's kind of cool. They call on the whales and everything to essentially push this block of ice to the volcano, because He-Man said there's not going to be, it's moving too slow, it's not going to be enough time to get it there. So that's kind of a nice little thing. Made me think a little.
Yeah, again, showing that it doesn't have to be He-Man all the time, but a combination with He-Man and Teela doing what she did, where she summoned all of them. But of course, He-Man's still doing stuff, but and all of them are doing things, but it's, again, it's beyond what you're normally seeing. Right. So just seeing that they're just writing something like that, it's like, again, I can't remember the last time you see stuff like that. But this is the part
box.
I wanted.
Yeah, with Snake Mountain. Yeah,
you've seen at the beginning how they did Snake Mountain. We've seen Snake Mountain depicted in the mini comics as the toy. We've seen sometimes as, well, the cartoon as well. But it shows that even back in the day, there was an amalgamation. Because some people said, man, it'd be cool to see an amalgamation of the toy with the cartoon version. And again, I'm not saying it wasn't shown in the past before, but I like seeing this. But the unique thing to me, that I believe it was from this Lady Bird book, is just seeing that thing that Rotan shoots out of. Like, there's that part of Snake Mountain right there underneath with that skull, and you see him blasting out of the mouth. I was like, oh my god, what a gimmick of something. If the toy, let's just imagine if the vintage Snake Mountain was that massive, and you hit a lever, and boom, out flew the Rotan. Damn, that would have been a cool feature. Because remember, the Gyro Attacker is a thing that was never released. And it would have definitely helped maybe hype up the Energy Zoids, you know, Rotar and Twistoid. Because that was going to go in there and they would, like, shoot out Rotar from the Gyro Attacker. So, just the thought of that toy we never got. But I like that. I was like, damn, I can't remember seeing that anywhere else except right here.
Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't, like, attachable to Snake Mountain, if it was his own little thing, you just have like this skull that could fit multiple vehicles, but that you could still just like push a button and it'll like shoot them out. That would have been
something.
Missed opportunity, Mattel.
Missed, yeah, definitely. But so this is something they implemented. And you seen, obviously, Skeletor with watching his monitors was at first excited, thinking Merman was getting the job done. Then he seen up, things didn't work like he wanted, so he's going to go out and he's going to try to take care of business. He's going to have to pick up all the crap and the mess that Merman didn't do. I guess if you want a job done right, you got to do it yourself. Basically, what Skeletor is doing.
I'm just thinking here, because Merman is summoning like stingrays and sharks and sea serpents. I wish we could have got more of a visual image of that with like everything, a big old sea battle going on, you know, like like Merman and He-Man are like clashing on the ice, and Skeletor shows up, and just they're surrounded by just like sharks and killer whales just fighting each other. That'd be kind of cool.
Which we get to see a little bit coming up, which I do like. But I guess there's only so much. You know, what's funny is think of the amount of stuff that they have to fit into these 40 some pages. You know, it's like they've already done quite a bit, but I guess when you're kind of limited to basically that one image in a storybook instead of compared to like a comic book with panels, you know, they have to pick and choose what they want to set in there. But you're right. It would have been nice to see a little more, but we get something, as you'll see coming up, because you're right. I mean, Skeletor's telling Merman what to do and what to summon, and Merman's doing it, but then, bam, a little flip, you know, right here, because Teela's creatures, there was one that was sitting there hiding the whole time, and it was the killer whales, which basically, bam, are going to take out these sea serpents and everything else. I like, though, that Skeletor and Merman, this little pissed off back and forth, like, Merman's kind of not going to take it, you know? He's going to fight back at Skeletor as they're shooting at each other. It's like, right. So they're sitting there, they're having a battle. It's not even He-Man battling with Skeletor. It's Skeletor and Merman having their own.
Well, that's always the thing with villains. They can never, they get too selfish. That's why they half the time they never succeed when they team up.
So no, definitely. Yeah.
Always one over the other. I ate cashews right before we did the show, and I'm kind of regretting that decision because it feels like some still stuck in my teeth and a fragment just like threw back in my throat, and I thought I was gonna cough for a second. But anyway,
as long as you don't puke live. But so you're right. So you see the crew of the Seagull were seeing all this happening before their eyes, this battle. But yeah, Merman had a little slip, sword went, so he figured I'm gonna jump back in there too. But Skeletor there, he's left floating on that little piece of ice that's shrinking as Rotom's away too.
And you can see the worry on his face. Just in that shot right there, he's like, shit.
Yes, and like, even though we know we've seen him multiple times, just use a spell to boom, disappear, and, you know, teleport. It's like, you know, it's not in every story. So you got to see him in some kind of peril. I just thought, admittedly, when you get to the next pages, I thought, okay, He-Man will, like, maybe save the day or, you know, bring Skeletor in. And it was kind of a twist to see that, you know, that never happened. As you'll see when it gets to the next panel, it's kind of leaving you think, okay, Skeletor just left out there. I mean, there's the killer whales. Could have died. Maybe this could have been the end of them. But especially when you're seeing this panel, I mean, this page here, this, you know, two-page spread of the killer whale, it's like, could have took Skeletor out pretty easily. But I'll pass it back to you.
I mean, that's kind of the hilarious part. I could just see He-Man just standing there, arms crossed, just looking out, just kind of waving at Skeletor. It's like, hey, man, you're on your own. I can't do anything.
Uh-huh. So I like that. And even when Adam's in there talking to Teela about that and, you know, saying, Merman's not the bravest of creatures. Skeletor is going to be very cold and wet before Merman plucks up the courage to face him, let alone rescue him. So that just, I like that it was just left as a little cliffhanger, even though I at first was thinking he was going to get rescued, but they leave it at that. It'll go to the last two pages and there, and another at least forward shot of the Sea Eagle. Like you said, they drew many different parts of it. I like kind of look, you got a little nice little ending right there, and Talon Finder returned to Castle Grayskull with Man at Arms, and it was a good story. I mean,
I like how they, you know, illustrated the Teela's butt crack.
Well, you know, you should put a little bit up there, just a little bit. Even the toy has it, but you know, gotta have some separation. Otherwise, you can't really tell what an ass is when you're looking sometimes. So you gotta see where the cheeks are. But no, it was a nice little sunset and a nice little ending. But it was a good story. Like I said, it's not an epic story. It's not a shit story, but it's a fun story, and it's something
just all around something just totally different than what you're used to getting into. So yeah, I didn't mind it at all. Aside from just a little bit of art of Adam and He-Man, just was kind of but everything else was fine.
It might have looked a little different, but it was still good. But so that's that story. Now we'll hit to some of the topical stuff that was happening with the Masters of the Universe Origins card back art.
Boom.
Some of the reveals. And, of course, then we'll get to all the question and answers with everybody here in the chat room.
Well, I'll put the card back art up here first. So we have He-Man and Skeletor, and all of these are fantastic. I can't. Okay. It makes me, when I see them on the shelf, because I'm used to just letting the figures breathe, man. Packaging is one thing, keeping shit in the box, all right, some stuff I do that too, but these, like, I feel like I'm gonna have to at least keep the cards. I'm not gonna throw those away.
What I'm hoping is eventually they could offer these in, like, just prints, meaning, you know, when this goes on the card back, on the back, they're gonna have text on it and logos, and, you know, I was like, damn, I always want to see the art clean, just like back in the day, the Errol McCarthy art that we had. It's like, yeah, of course you've seen most all the pictures, but there was once in a while a little text like, oh, I wish I wasn't there. Oh, I wish that hole punch wasn't there, because they're going to punch it right there to pop it on the pegs. But, yeah, I think Axel did all the art on this. I mean, there was people that did the art with him. I forgot who did the I hate that I didn't know who did the coloring, but I believe Axel did all the line art. I don't know if he inked it. I wish that Grimbot would have been here in the chat room, but these are beautiful pieces.
Yeah, they're amazing. So I'm gonna keep the cards. I'm definitely gonna take the figures out, of course. I think maybe I don't know. I'm kind of
you gotta take
do I just buy do I just buy pull a Tyler and buy two and keep one in the packaging and take the other one
out.
out?
Whatever the hell makes you happy. I
I,
mean,
I yeah, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, Joe.
I if they hopefully are around here, which I'm sure they will be, and they'll hit multiple stores. I mean, I just will be able to get one set. But if you have the money and you can get two, go ahead and buy two. Keep one sealed
Yeah,
and keep
that's the
one to
thing.
open.
Yeah, I don't
But hey, even think of this: if you
think
open
I
them
could.
up, the back is where the card art is. So when you take them out of the package, it's not going to ruin the back of
Oh,
the
well, yeah,
card.
I
So.
know that. I know that, but I'm sure it's going to be nice on the front too. Did you
Yeah.
have
Well, some
a
people.
particular favorite out of these that were shown? I honestly think my favorite might be Beastman's out of everybody.
I'll wait you get to that because I see these two here. I can't remember how many more there were that you were going to pop up. Right now, I just see the He-Man,
Yeah,
Skeletor, and
well, the next one here is Man at Arms and Beastman.
I do. Well, I mean, I even use the Beastman to promote the episode, so you might as well say, "Hey, I guess that's the one." Because a lot of little homages to things. I won't say them all. I'm sure people are going to catch where some of these come from, but his art has creatures that you've seen in other media from the past, which I like, but yeah, I do like the Beastman one.
Switch
So far, out of
to
the four you showed, yeah.
and next up here is Teela and Evil Lyn, which I'm kind of curious here with Teela's, because we have King Randor back there and he's like his hair and his beard are white.
Well, that's if you remember the Orko's card back art. They had King Randor and Queen Marlena both looking old. Even in some of the mini comics and the other comics, I mean, they were depicted with gray hair a lot of times. So that's the scene, if I'm not mistaken, of Orko's card back art when they had the background of them in the palace room or whatever the hell you want to call it, the throne room.
Well, there we
So,
go. Learned a
yeah.
little something new today, but I do like Teela's a lot as well because we get Merman just
A
getting
lot's going on
smacked
too.
in the
Sometimes
face. Yeah.
something, yeah, and sometimes it's dazzling. Not that I'm saying there's nothing wrong with Evil Inns, because that's beautiful too. But sometimes when you get a lot of things going on, or especially when there's a little hidden homage, Easter eggs or something, it kind of I don't know, makes it stand out.
Man, I'm actually the closer that we start to get to these, the more excited I am for them and to be able to hopefully see them in a store.
Yeah.
I think that's
I
the
had a
other
little
thing
thought
that,
about that too later, but go
yeah,
ahead.
that's the other thing that kind of worries me is just like how the case ratios are going to be. If it's going to kind of be how the Masters of the WWE Universe figures have been, where like if you see them once, you won't see them again for a month and a half.
No, I mean, hell, I think if no, I mean, if they would keep selling, I could see them just constantly keep restocking. As long as they're selling, then why not? They would just order more. And I'm sure that the case pack ratios, I'm sure they'll be evened out. They won't, I think, do the disaster
Yeah.
of 4-1-1 for a six pack. It should be 2-2-2. But I mean, that's just me and wishful thinking. But I in no way see them doing anything insane or stupid to piss fans off, thinking I couldn't get Teela, but you know, because there was four He-Mans, one Teela, and one Man at Arms, and
Yeah.
they sold quick. And no, I don't see that. I think they've learned from their mistakes in the past, I would think. Now, was that the last of the arts before you get to the figures that we'll show, or what? I can't remember.
Yes. Yep, that is the last of the
Okay.
card back art.
Okay.
All right,
All right.
Joe.
I'll wait.
Here we go. Boom. PowerCon exclusives. We got the images for everybody. This was announced. Was this yesterday that this was announced? Or where they showed all this off?
I think it
I
was.
think
Well,
it.
you know what's weird? I almost thought. Okay, Saturday I think they showed She-Ra, but I thought Friday they might have showed He-Man, and then I don't know.
I
But
don't
either
know.
way, I'm glad you got this picture up here to keep it in context, because some people when they seen the figures were wondering why the hell does Skeletor and Beast Man, and why does someone look so weird? And remember, it's based off of the Lords of Power collection. Remember what they were originally maybe, you know, planning on calling it, and these early designs of the figures. And it's a great homage to it because these definitely will not look like the Origins figures. The Origins Skeletor is quite different from this, the same as Merman, Beastman. I like all the little details, like especially Man at Arms. He was one you could tell all these extra details added. Some things that shocked me, and it ain't being like trying to be annoying about stuff, but I was surprised that He-Man's axe wasn't changed up a little because it didn't look like the Lords of Power He-Man axe. And I was surprised Skeletor's Havoc staff wasn't separated with the ram's horn to be a little thinner. Those are just two little stupid nitpicks. I'm not doing that to be an idiot. But either way, these all look great. And I believe that these are... what date is it? They're going to be offered, obviously, for, you know, the attendees. But I think non-attendees will have a chance to get these too. And I think someone was just posted today by Val, maybe, of how to order them. If I can see that later, I'll let Nathan know, and he can pop it down in the link below to let you know where you can find the details. But what I'm seeing more about these is, okay, it's just a quick little ramble. I remember when the 2000X figures were out, and they were, you know, it was announced, okay, the line is ending. And people were really disappointed because there were so many figures they couldn't get. But then they announced that, wait a second, I think it was through NECA. God, was it fucking NECA? That's terrible if I couldn't remember who did it. But, well, either way, they were going to do statues. They were going to do statue versions of characters you didn't get in figure form, like the 2000X, but they're just not going to be posable. People were in an uproar. They're like, this is stupid. I don't want a stupid statue of them. I don't care if they're going to be the same size. I don't want them. But then they came out, and people were like, damn, these things are amazing. They were freaking out. I mean, once you got them, you loved them. Then after that, here came the Masters of the Universe Classic figures. They showed the first ones, and I remember it, and nobody can deny this. They've seen it in all the He-Man boards and websites and everything. Anyone that's seen them said, these figures look stupid. They look like just slightly bigger vintage figures with more articulation. Who cares? I don't want them. They came out. Everybody lost their shit and loves them. Now, again, here comes these. And a lot of people are saying a lot love them, but there are those, and I respect if they don't like them, but they say, I don't like them. They're smaller versions, maybe less articulation. The details isn't much. I don't know if I want to get them. But I'm going to think, just like almost everything else, when you get them, you're like, damn, they're cool. Again, that might not happen with everybody, yeah. But it's just a pattern that has happened with every set of things that came out. People said they're shit, then they get them, and then they love them. But I'm just super psyched about these because, I mean, it's back in retail. It's hell affordable for me because I just can't afford the other stuff. But, I don't know, like, when you've seen these, like I said, I mean, they look cool as shit. Plus, we're going to see a She-Ra one here, too, which is a cool-looking She-Ra. Yeah, but these are cool exclusives. These aren't going to be sold at stores, so that's the pisser of it all.
Yeah, but that's still cool. That's going to be the thing. We'll have to see how all that turns out for, like, the non-attendees. I think Val is looking into doing that again for people to get them and set it up so people that aren't able to go can obtain them. So we'll kind of see that as more information kind of gets passed around. But
yes,
Joe,
yes.
You had this comparison picture for Man at Arms that you had me pop up.
Yeah, like I said, because I just wanted to show because some people didn't understand the context or thought maybe there wasn't much difference. I just want to say, yeah, there is the Origins Man at Arms, and then there's the Lords of Power exclusive one. Yeah, you can see they're quite different. I mean, those and with Beast Man and Skeletor. I mean, the He-Man one, yeah, almost kind of pretty much the same, so it's not like super psych doing backflips, only so much you could do with him, but that's just one example of the vast difference of how the Origins one will look and how the exclusive one is, and that She-Ra one is badass looking. That is a great looking She-Ra figure too, and I'm assuming obviously with the comb, well I can't say that because Classics figure came with a comb and it was, you know, molded hair, but that looks like brushable hair, so a good other homage to the vintage style Princess of Power figures, but looks good, really detailed.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how all this will ultimately pan out once the Origins line comes out. Is there going to be more discussion, too, that's like, well, let's find a way to bring She-Ra into the mix with this and put it out there for people, or if they can find a workaround, whatever. But it's an exciting time. Whether you love them or you don't like these, regardless, it'll be nice to walk into a store and just see that section of those.
Oh, hell yeah, and you know what? I was going to say real quick, I feel bad for you, Grim. Grim, we and Nathan just talked at the beginning. Yeah. There was a time change. The clocks went forward an hour because I was wondering, where the fuck is Grimbot? He's always here at the
He's
beginning.
He's always here.
Well, now you popped up. He's like, yeah, where's the vintage She-Ra sword? Because this sword that she's holding definitely doesn't look like the vintage toy. But again, I don't know the direction of what this is all going to be kind of like based on. But still a great looking figure. But people are pretty excited. Again, there's those that aren't. But, you know, you never know their minds. They might change, but they might not. And if they still don't like them, hell, they don't like them. But you're right, it's an exciting time to be a He-Man fan because you're having toys, having cartoons, you know, you're having a lot of stuff coming out. So hopefully it could just bring back that brand and bring back the popularity of Masters of the Universe like it used to be. Will it be maybe as grand as it was back in the day? Maybe not, but you never know. Right. But it would just be good to get some good representation of Masters of the Universe in a positive way,
yeah,
to where people can get excited about every month, or, you know, keep them going.
And that's what I hope, that even if you don't like the Origins figures, that hopefully the cartoons strike a chord with you and you enjoy something of this new batch of shit that's coming out. I hope there's something that fans can latch onto and like.
Right.
And I mean, the best case scenario would be that all of these things come out and we all just love it for the most part. But I know that that's not going to happen.
No, of course not. You could pop us back on so now they can look at our ugly mugs. Well, I mean, well, look at my mask and look at you.
Oh,
but... Joe, no, I didn't know.
Joe,
that
no,
sounded
I, no,
wrong.
Hey, no, it's fine. It's fine, Joe. I'm ugly. I get it.
I did not.
I get it.
You know what's weird? I say shit, and I swear to God, I don't mean it in the way it sounded. But after I say it, I'm like, that sounded wrong. I was not that insulting, or no. You're like, yeah. You come back on, and all I see is a middle finger or something.
That's what I should have done, but no, I didn't do that. So I guess go ahead and pop your questions up there, and I will start to read some of the comments, because we had some interesting things happen in the comment section of last week's video. But I'll start off first here with Blue Haired Lawyer. I was having a discussion about MOTU Origins with a good friend, and we both agreed that Origins probably would have been much better received in 2000, or possibly even after the 2000X line ended. For it to come after Classics is a bit of a regression, for the lack of a better word. Granted, opinions always vary. I want to cherry pick Origins while my friend has zero interest in it. I agree that Mattel dropped the ball at Toy Fair. I think we can all agree on that. If they had perhaps shown some concept art for upcoming figures, that would have been somewhat promising, or even like a written list to confirm what people were having suspicions about what was coming after. I really wish there was some way that true actual fans could be allowed to write and draw a series of licensed one-off comics. I really believe we could see some awesome character-driven MOTU stories with incredible art. I think that would be a cool opportunity. I don't know why Marvel, DC, any of the other smaller publications haven't done that as like maybe like a one-off, like an online digital kind of thing that people can work on their own stories and submit them, and then they can pick like a handful and actually like put them on their website, or maybe even produce some in a book in a limited run. I think that would be a good kind of back and forth.
It would be interesting. I mean, we can agree, like you said, sometimes they always say you definitely don't want to give, you know, all fans too much power, because you never know what they would run with it or what they do. But it's always still interesting to see what a fan could come up with, because maybe they could write an amazing story. You know, you got to look at the amount of fan projects that people do for so many things. Like, example, Friday the 13th, it's dead in the water because all this legal crap, unfortunately.
Yep.
But with that, you have fans. There are so many fan movies coming out. It's unreal. Some not that great,
yeah,
but some that I won't mention.
Uh-huh.
But one of those sumbitches in particular felt like a theatrical movie, and that's Never Hike Alone. If you have not seen this, I just got to say for you guys out there, Never Hike Alone, it's a fan-made movie. When you watch it, it feels theatrical-like. And it wasn't a giant budget, Kickstarter made, not a lot of people in it. And believe me, not a lot of people in it, but they get it. These fans
it's
who
engaging.
Did it, they got...
Start to
it,
finish.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Start to finish. You are in it from the get-go, but it's fan-made, it's by fans for the fans, and they did it right. But then sometimes you get fans who figure, okay, let's get everybody that was involved in the past Friday the 13th movies. Let's have like 80 people in this film. Let's have such a convoluted story, and then it sucks.
Yeah.
See, sometimes things can backfire. There's some good things that can come with fans with anything.
Yeah.
Same thing with video game stuff, but I agree. It would be nice for some stuff. And remember, Never Hike Alone. I'm not going to say the other one because I'm not being disrespectful,
yeah,
but there's a bad one out there.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible. Anyway, Jason Havlick, which I'll read because Tyler actually replied to this as well. I have a random question about a MOTU concept character called Snowman. Have you guys ever heard of him? I've seen a picture of the character, and he looks like Stratos on skis. I would love to see this character brought to life in figure form or like in another medium. Tyler responded to that and said that's one of my absolute favorite concept characters. I put him in the top three of I think Tyler left a word out here. What we should have received.
Damn, bless America.
There we go. If you're playing the Joe Amato F-bomb knocking shit over game, go ahead and take your shot now. Uh-oh. Am I gonna lose Joe? Because he probably picked up his tablet and turned his stuff off. I guess I have. So, way to go, Joe. Thanks. Maybe I'll call him again. Fantastic.
Oh shit. Oh shit.
There we go. Yep, you're here.
God damn! This happened. Hey, you guys got to give it to me. That has not happened in 2 months.
Oh yeah, more like 2 weeks.
Oh, motherfucker! I'm sorry. This has not happened in so long. God damn. Okay, what happened? What did I leave off?
The concept character Snowman. What are your thoughts, Joe?
Dude, I just can't believe it. Anyways, you know, that is a cool look at gossip figure. It was in the Power and Honor Foundation catalog, but I liked a lot of the concept stuff that we never got, you know, and I know, of course, we'll never get half of that was in there, but and other things that they've had as well. But yeah, I do like the figure. Thanks for that comment and that question. And sorry, my mind got so frazzled after I hit that shit. I didn't know what happened.
Yeah, it's all right. He's gonna feel terrible about it after we're done recording. But I can't believe that happened. Like, it's fine. I don't care. It just sucks because I have to like keep talking and there's dead air, and then I have to wait for you to come back in, and I don't know if it's gonna like mess with your camera with how the people are gonna see it. So it's a lot of stuff. But all right, I should have actually gotten a picture of Snowman and had it up, but I don't have one on me. Drawing.
Some people could Google. Yeah, they can Google, though.
Yeah. Well, do we got any questions in the chat? You can go ahead, and we'll take a couple of those.
We'll get to at least some of the...
Pop back into the comments from last week after that.
Okay, well, first I seen Zan Brown said, is anybody counting Joe's F-bombs? I think I had zero up until that second right there where 30 came out after I dropped the tablet.
Well, what happened? Did you just, like, hang up on the call as you went to pick it up or something? I was like...
I think when it fell, it might have hit a button when I picked it up because, I don't know. But I slapped it and it went down. You still got me?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't hear you for a second. Okay, good. All right, Grimbot said, by the way, did you mention Skeletor has wrong feet? Should have human feet like the prototype. I missed that, Grim. Like I said, I was looking at a couple details, like I said, that are different. But, well, I guess they got as many as they could. It's still cool as shit, but you're right. I mean, I know some things weren't as exact. Jason Havlick said, my interest in all things Masters of the Universe has definitely been renewed, which is that's what we like to hear. That's what we want. We want to get excited.
I think that's what they're hoping for as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want. I mean, my God, how bad would it be? These toys come out and this cartoon came out, and it sucked. It's like I said, I guarantee that'd be the end of Masters. Nobody would want to ever touch it again, probably for, you know, a long time. If the toys failed and a cartoon, they'd be like, you know, there's nothing they could do. But so hopefully it will hold interest. DJ Tag says it's great. It picked up so much Masters Universe retail so they could see that they could make money. Yeah, and definitely you want to be making money. And when we were talking about, I said you had an ugly mug, which I didn't mean, but Strobe Life video did say, and that's why you should be wearing the other module.
Well, you know, Joe's got to make it and send it to me, so.
Well, yeah, I will. And Curtis Ackerman said, nice t-shirt, Nathan.
Thank you.
Femont said, Zen Brown, he has cussed too much for anyone to count. He's like, livers are gone now for anyone doing the drinking game. Adam said, Joe or Nathan, when I was in the hospital as a kid, I was shown a Masters of the Universe coloring book for 1980s, and my question, what makes it be cool? I never owned one when I was shown years ago. Well, I guess, Adam, I don't know how many, you know, you've looked at, and some people didn't know, but they weren't all just coloring books. You know, there's the coloring / activity books, and of course, some of those coloring books were actual stories, which had unique stuff in them as well, which, if you include the sticker books and the paint with water, those had some interesting ones. Like I said, a lot of people didn't know about the Evil Olympics that, you know, Alcala drew that. And when people found out, oh my God, Alcala did more? And that was a really cool one. That was a sticker book. But, yeah, I think that's the attraction of those is once you look and you see there's more to them than you thought, that's what makes them fun. Plus, who doesn't like coloring shit?
Well, I was always a fan of the activity / coloring books. If it was just a straight-up coloring book, I kind of liked doing the other stuff, like the word searches and like the mazes and it, what else would you have in those things?
Hell, there was even ones I remember you would like stare. God forbid I'm gonna have to bring up the shittiest character, but Stratos. There was this one image where there was like Stratos, and it was like just blacked out image of him with just blacked out. I don't know if there was a dot by him, but you had to just stare at that page for 30 seconds. Then they said, close your eyes and move your head or something. And then you've seen an image of Stratos like flying in the air in your eyes when you close it. So, you know, a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
The missing things I used to love where it'd say, look at this picture.
Yeah.
Now,
I was actually going to bring that up. Change. Yeah. Yeah. What's the difference? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference? Yeah. And it said, don't look back. But of course, as a kid, who didn't cheat? So, JSP did say, check out videos for the fan made Terminator game, TechCom 2029. We'll have to check that out, JSP, because again, yeah, it's always cool seeing what fans do. Let me see. I wanted to scroll down a little bit. If we got jobs, Curtis Ackerman, Mattel to me is like that ex-girlfriend that treated us like crap at the end and left us for another guy. Then just as we were starting to fall for Super 7, she comes crawling back. That's an interesting analogy, Curtis. Definitely. And
it would kind of be more like, you're starting to fall for another girl, and then your ex-girlfriend shows up and she's really crazy and like kidnaps or like kills the girl that you had an interest in, and now they're just like, no, you're with me now. Well, I mean, think about that. It's like Super 7's not really going to produce anything else now that Mattel is sort of, hey, we're back in it again. So a little dark.
You never know. I mean, there's always a possibility of maybe classic style figures. I mean, you never know what the future holds, but we do appreciate that. Sportman says, what do you guys think of the PowerCon exclusives? Don't
rewind.
Know if that's already been. Rewind. Love them. Can't wait. let's see. Grimba said, oh, hey, Joe, what did you think of I'm not going to touch that.
We won't touch that one. That's.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Sportman, do you guys buy the Mega Constructs figures?
I do.
I don't. Well, I do. Not that they're bad. It's just.
Yeah. I got them. I got them all kind of lined up here. Well, not all of them, but I have quite a few lined up here because I got the multi pack that Walmart had for a while. I actually have the Wind Raider down here that I was thinking about putting together. And
they got a lot of stuff coming. Yeah, I think. Don't they have like a Rotom and a lot of things? I mean, they're fantastic little figures. If they're in your area, pick them up. They're affordable. They're cool. Again, around here, I just never see them. So things just, I guess, sell quick. Jason Havlick said, they hope so. The brand definitely feels like it has a real chance to succeed this time around, and I really hope so. Carlos said, most people who don't like Origins or WWE Masters have not had them in hand. I was apprehensive at first, but in hand, these are awesome. And Nathan can attest to that, at least for the WWE figures, too.
I think the Sting figure was kind of meh, but the Triple H one, I think Finn Balor with the design that they went with actually fits in and works with what they were going for. And the Warrior looks cool. To me, once you take all of his armor off and it's just Ultimate
Just by
Warrior,
himself, he looks awesome. Yeah, he looks...
But yeah, no, the quality on him when you get him in hand, I enjoy it. I like it. I like what they did with him. But I'm not going to get Faker Cena or Fisto Roman Reigns. Just give me the Mysterio, and with Macho Man, it'll probably be the same thing. I'll take the armor off of him and just let him be Macho Man.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, they do look great as is for some of them. Some of them are just too bland, but I see what you mean. Sportman says, Nathan, Joe, will you guys ever do a Masters of the Universe collection video tour? I could do that. I just got to set some stuff up to be a little more streamlined in here, and Nathan, he'd take you, it'd be like an hour on his tour
because
he's got so
with my Masters collection it wouldn't take long because I just basically just have the vintage that I have up there, and I've actually gotten a few more classics, so I'm the classics collection is building a little bit right now.
Maybe next month if we're
something.
Like into
I mean,
it,
I mean
yeah.
I if you guys would have any interest in it, I could do like with the shelf here, my Detolfs here. I could like show you everything that's sort of around me and kind of go so you can see it better or something. Yeah, I can do that and put it on the channel.
We'll do a live tour. You're going to go past Emily and she's going to
I won't do a live tour, but I'll record something and put it on the channel and show off.
We're going to do a live tour. We're going to do a live tour, damn it. Stepmom says, Joe always wears the mask, but can never be bothered to wear the pants. Wouldn't that have been something if when this all flipped over, Cena wasn't wearing pants? No. What a disaster that would have been.
Always wear pants, Joe. For, please.
Yeah,
Think of the children.
Think of the children. Hodad Whale said, hi, guys. Hey, haven't seen you here in a while.
Yeah, hope everything's all.
Curtis said, I've had them in hand and still say no thanks. I'll stick with Super 7. Mattel can suck it. Well, you know, that's your opinion. Anybody can think what they want. I mean, you guys heard what I said, that sometimes pisses people off, and I don't do that to get people mad, but, I mean, we always appreciate, you know, just an honest opinion. It's, you know, as long as people ain't being vile, he's just, you know, what the hell?
Well, I mean, it is kind of annoying that Mattel essentially kind of abandoned it for a while, and Super 7 came along, and it's like, all right, well, we'll keep this going, we'll stay on track. And now all of a sudden Mattel's like, nah, hey, we need that back. Like,
it's weird.
I get the turn off.
And some people, and again, almost like when I was talking about the figures earlier, people were even apprehensive when Super 7 took over. Like, oh, what's this new company? Oh, God, these suck. Oh, they're not getting better. And then they started getting in. Like, it's pretty good. And here came Mattel again. So I could see it, but you never know. Curtis's mind might change, and he might still just keep that in the mind about sucks. You never know. It could happen. Zembron said the only coloring book he had was the one that used the water instead of the paint, which I like those, but I never wanted to do them too much because it seemed like if you put too much water, all that color would bleed. So almost all my coloring with water books, I left alone. I don't know if you ever had those, Nathan, but I didn't want to touch them no more to ruin them.
Yeah, no, I never had those. So I'm like looking at the stuff, like the comments on last week's video too, to read some more stuff. I think I just want to... I'll do two more. Descendants of Grayskull, another awesome show. Always good to see the trio together. Which someone, I'm trying to remember, who was it? Was it Brad Collins that asked if Tyler was going to be on this week's episode? And I was like, not this week. So I'll go ahead and reveal. It's not something that, it's just a rough schedule. But I think the plan is to have Tyler on every other week. Now, there might be some episodes where he's on consecutive weeks, or there might be some where, like, he's on an episode, and then Joe and I do two episodes, and then he's back. So, we're just kind of working Tyler back in, and letting him just kind of, we're just go at his own, like, pace.
He just won't want to be on in 2 weeks if that's when issue 5 or something comes out. Or something.
Yeah, and if that kind of falls in line with the thing where it's like, well, this would be the week that Tyler would be on, but it's like, all right, well, issue 5 came out. There's no way in hell Tyler's going to do that. But Price at the Seat is a cracking episode, although I was never a huge fan of the Keldor Skeletor tale. It felt it was the best way to show the transition without doing multiple episodes about him. I always preferred Skeletor's background from Filmation, where he was a demon from another dimension who ended up a member of the Horde.
Yeah, I always just liked Skeletor's origin from just back in the day before, you know, in the cartoons. I just liked him being an evil demon from another dimension who's conquered so many worlds and was drawn to Eternia and wants to get the power of Grayskull and figures he could rule the universe. I just liked an evil being. I didn't need to know the backgrounds. Again, it works for a lot of characters. I can understand people like a backstory to everything, but for Skeletor, sometimes there's just some people I just want, let them be evil to be evil. That's it. I don't want to hear nothing else from
it's
them.
It's kind of, I feel it. Less is more in some cases, like Michael Myers, perfect example. You just need that basic little bit. We don't need to know anything else. And then Rob Zombie came along. It's like, oh, well, here's all this backstory, and he was killing dogs.
And it was typical. I knew that was going to happen. I was like, I know what it is. They're going to white trash this up, hillbilly this, and sure enough, he did it. I mean, at least in the other ones, I love 4, 5, and 6. 4 and 5 more back in the day. It was a different origin, yes, but it worked. But you're right, everybody was getting an origin, and Michael was one I thought maybe wouldn't have had one. We had the origin for Jason, which in my mind, I told you, my two childhood heroes were He-Man and Jason. I didn't look as Jason as I always said the story.
What does that tell the people? I want to be strong, and I want to kill people.
No, not in that aspect. It's just from the get-go, I was like, this poor kid, you know, who had some issues, he drowned. He wasn't being watched. They should have watched him.
Yeah.
His mother snapped, started killing, but then you find out he really wasn't dead, and he's seen the only person that loved him and cared for him killed by these people, and now he's taking revenge. And in my mind as a kid, I was like, oh, he's a good guy, poor guy. Yeah, he's killing him, but poor Jason.
I mean, you're not wrong.
So, weird. Go ahead.
I think the most interesting comment that we got on last week's video comes from Pablo MZK. I think Fans of Negativity would be a better name for this podcast. And, you know, I chimed in with it. Stuff. Joe chimed in with stuff. And Tyler.
But I was. I respected what he said.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No,
it's because what.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, no, really, it's what we always say that, you know, like when we're doing the show and there's something we might not, you know, like, and we say it and it might anger people, just like it did for Pablo. Yeah. But like I said, we're not trying to be like malicious when we do it. And you know what? He did in kind back to us saying, you know, it just seems like you guys were a negative on a lot of the new stuff. And it's good. He should speak up like that. Like, don't just sit back and then say, but these guys seem like they're negative about all the new stuff. I can't stand this show. Tell us.
Yeah,
and
call I like us that out he did it. So he, I love it.
Yeah. And I respected it. It was great. I loved hearing that, Pablo. I mean, if anybody feels like that, something that you're like, oh, you guys love this too much, hate this too much, say it. Because not everything is going to be perfectly great, and not everything is going to suck, but it's just honest opinions. Yeah. That's all, you know?
Yeah. Tell us how you feel. I mean, we're not going to get mad at anybody.
No, I don't get mad at all.
Joe's never gotten mad about anything ever.
No, I just had anger issues, but I'm a good guy now. DJ Tag says Stratos is winning because Joe is the is his biggest fan. Well, yeah, I guess so. DJ Tag, that's why that damn Stratos sucks. Just like Super 7 having more focus on reaction and Keshi figures. I know they were doing. I don't know if they're still doing more of that, but
The reaction figures, I think, work in some instances, but other times I'm just like, when they did the Ninja Turtle ones, I'm like, I already got, like, my vintage figures and the stuff that NECA's putting out. Why would I want this version of this? It's kind of like, almost feel that it's almost on the same plane of Funko Pops, but not really. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody. I kind of look at reaction figures the same way I look at Funko Pops. Like, some of them are all right and a nice little novelty, and other times they're just like, eh, no, not for me.
No, I admit.
If you like them, the card art on some of those is great. All the power to you, but I'm just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, I always, and that's Jason Edmiston, I think, that does all that card art and everything for those little reaction figures. It's beautiful art. And again, like I said, if people have the money, get anything you want. Hell, if I had the money, I know I'd be buying it all, but I can't. But there was one thing I wanted to show here.
Yeah, sure.
I was going to say.
Custom?
No, not a custom, but it's this comic. And it's issue 9. The one where I love the cover, but with Orc, I'm not going to ruin the story. I can at least say that in this, you know, Montork and Driel are quite different. Montork, you know, he's got like a sombrero. I have no clue why. Driel has a purse and tits. I'm like, I don't know why, but it's definitely a way of differentiating them from the Filmation versions. But what I'm going to say to you guys is, after this video is over, just make a comment below. What you think of the show, or any comments you want to make in the comment section, not in the chat room. So after this video is over, come back here, make a comment. And on Wednesday, from whoever is doing this, watching us live, comments, and anybody listening later, because I know some people do it days later, Wednesday in the Fans of Power Facebook group, not page, but Fans of Power Facebook group, which I think Nathan usually links down there. I'm going to take all the names of everybody that left a comment. I'll put you on a wheel, spin it, whoever it lands on, I'll send you this copy of this issue free, just for being assholes and listen to our show. How about that?
Just being love assholes and listening to our show.
Yeah, I love you bastards, every one of you. So, but yeah, if you guys want to win that, I'll send that sucker off to you. I'll spin the wheel, and whoever it lands on first, bam, they'll win. Send it to you free of charge. See, I'm not that cheap. I mean, I am cheap, but, you know, well, I got this, like I said, at a good deal when I went to a comic book store. I was like, well, I already have that issue. I'm going to give it away to our lovely fans. See? I said that nice. I said lovely fans.
And if you haven't already and popped a like on there, go ahead and give it a like, too. But also, yeah, throw the comment down there. And it could be, I mean, mostly pertaining to what we talked about on the episode today. Just whatever. Don't just go in the comments and just type, like, one letter and be like, all right, well, I commented. You better put me on the wheel. Like, put something that's pertaining to the stuff we talked about.
All right. And before we do in this, I'll try to – Curtis Ackerman has a movie quote. There are two kinds of people, those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig? God, it sounds familiar and it's not ringing a bell. I'm going to give 30 seconds. I don't know what you'll have to give the answer to me. And do you know that, Nathan? Because it's not ringing a bell.
It sounds really familiar.
Especially with You Dig. It's like, was that? It sounds too obvious, but let me see.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Really?
I don't know.
We'll have to see.
I'm just making a guess.
I'm waiting for Curtis to pop it. While Curtis, I'm waiting for you to pop that answer in the chat room. Fedmon said, Joe, you're staring at troweling girl boobs? Well, isn't that a strange fetish? Well, he is Joe after all. Well, I mean, it's just because she didn't have boobs in filmation, and these are just obvious. They're just popping out, and she's got a purse, and oh, God, does she look weird. But Uncle Montour, God, what a weird-looking figure. Fun story, but you guys will be entertained by at least seeing that. Maybe one day we'll put that up to read that comic, put all the images to see what you guys think of it. Grimbot thought it was Shaft, and Curtis Ackerman said,
Good, the bad. It's on my shirt. I'm terrible with movie quotes. Unless it's
now that's pretty bad.
I know, unless it's like basketball or Dumb and Dumber or something, like the ones that I've repeated over and over again that Tyler
it's
and I
like
are like,
poetic.
Everything else is just like...
Well, Tyler, like, got me on Friday the 13th 3. I love the movie, but he did a Shelley kind of quote, or somebody said something to Shelley, and I was like, I think it was something about, I'm an actor or something. I was like, it wasn't one of those quotes, boom, that was in my head. And he's like, I thought you were a Friday the 13th fan. Yeah. You're just a poser.
When the show's over, I'll just go throw this shirt on the grill outside and light it up.
Yeah, because you just lost your fan card on The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I'll be honest, I don't even know if I've ever seen that movie.
When it comes to Westerns, I always lean more towards the Clint Eastwood and like the spaghetti style. I've never been much of a John Wayne guy. Most of that was just kind of boring to me.
I never got into any of them. That's what made watching Back to the Future Part 3 so hard. I was like, I hate Westerns. But I watched it, I was like, Then there was some movie. What the hell was that with Mel Gibson where it was like he was playing cards or something? And I was
Maverick?
Maverick, yeah. I was like, that was okay. I could watch that. That was all right. But, I'm not much into Westerns. But, all right, guys, what I was going to say, it was awesome having you here. Hope you enjoyed it. I tried to get everybody in the chat room. And if you are new to this channel, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell so you can always get notified when we go live. And until next time, have a powerful day.
Tonight's WWE pay-per-view is the Elimination Chamber. The first one was in 2002 at Survivor Series for the World Heavyweight Championship. Who won the first ever Elimination Chamber match? And who did they defeat?
I'm going to say two things. I don't know. And second, the Elimination Chamber has been around for 18 years?
Yeah.
Damn! Yeah, I thought that was kind of like a newer pay-per-view that came out like 6 years ago. I didn't know it's been 18 years.
Before, they used to use the chamber and have at different shows. Like, the first one was at Survivor Series. Then they started doing the matches at the February show that was No Way Out at the time. And then they did, like, they've done with all the other things, TLC, Hell in a Cell. They're like, oh, we'll just call the pay-per-view after that. And that's kind of how it's been lately.
Well, who won? Because I didn't even know. Had no clue.
It was Shawn Michaels. He beat Triple H at the end. I'm trying to think of who else was in it. Booker T... Rob Van Dam. It's the one where Rob Van Dam like got on top of the pod and jumped onto Triple H, and it like his shin landed on his neck, and it like really messed Triple H up for.
I'm gonna have to catch it on the network if they have it. I never knew nothing about it. I'll see if I can find that, or at least YouTube it.
Well, and that entire show is actually not half bad. So yeah, check that out. Survivor Series 2002.
All right, I learned something again. Learn something new every day. So see you guys next time.